When you're tuned into WMNF 88.5 Tampa.
Welcome back.
I know you like that. All right, welcome back to the Urban Cafe on WMNF 88.5. Thank you so much for tuning in this morning. We're doing our second post-election show, kind of even though the national election is looking definitely looking like Biden has won, even though the president is officially not conceded as of like 5 minutes ago. But we want to switch over to the local elections, and I know we have some callers who are patiently waiting. We'll get to those callers shortly. So we had, I want to say it was like up to 9 local candidates come on this show in the weeks leading up to the November 3rd election. Mm-hmm. And again, one huge kudos to them for sacrificing their families and friends, sacrificing for what they believe in, running for public office, because that is no joke, running for public office. So that being said, there's winners and losers in like at every election. And so we're going to go through a list. Both Don and Jamal have that list up as well as I do. Jamal, where do you want to start off on some of those?
Well, I'm just at the Hillsborough County election site. I know, thanks to Don sending this list over. Just a few of them, I guess, just kind of running down. I know that we had Chad Cronister win sheriff. We had Andrew Warren win state attorney.
Over Mike Perotti, who was a guest, and Andrew right. Warren also was a right. guest, so thank yeah. both of them.
So I handle the law and order. I'll let you guys take it from there.
Warren was my guy. I just want everybody to know I brought Warren okay. on. Don Bethel brought the other guy on.
And so. Mike Perotti. And so okay, Mike was.
So I'm just saying, so right now we're 1-1, okay? We're 1-1, okay.
Coach
so
Don, if you're hearing, we're having a little inner Urban Cafe, a little squabble. Okay. But shout out to Mike Perotti, who I thought was a great candidate, also a great guest.
Oh yeah.
And
real quick, that's what I mean. You know, Mike Perotti lost, but he seemed like a very intelligent individual. We loved him as a guest. I would love for him and his supporters to do some things to help move our county forward.
I agree. And so in the NPR break, Jamal, Don, and I were talking. And Jamal, you brought up some great points about accountability. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? About
Yeah, what I mean by accountability is this. I don't have time for this, and I don't know if I would do it. I have my own reservations personally, but for me doing it. But if there's a candidate in office who is on the other side, okay, now you can be upset or you can go on your rabbit hole, but what you can do is check them. Make sure they're doing what they're supposed to do and follow up. Because I'll give you a great example. So if we look at this race here, I'm looking at, let me go up here. Okay, Andrew Warren, right? So Andrew Warren got 369,000 votes, right? Mike Perotti got 322,000 votes. Now we're in Hillsborough County. This is the district attorney. There's different ways and views on law and order from a state attorney position. Those 322,000 people, I mean, look, and then Mike Perotti, that's a huge following. I mean, look at that. I mean, you think just, oh, Andrew Warren won. Oh, you know, I'm a Republican and, oh, we're not going to get what we want with this. No, you have a voice there. You can send people to meetings. You can have people call up the news if there's things you don't like. And now I'm not saying just cause chaos, but what I'm saying is Mike Perotti and his people could be looked to try to work with Andrew Warren, because no matter who wins, you don't get all things you want. If a Democrat wins or Republican wins, you can't push all your issues. You do need to work together with the other side on some issues.
Compromise. And,
that's everything. I mean, that's yeah, you have to.
And he's just, and Jamal's just using this race as an example. He's not right. coming at Andrew
Correct.
Warren, or no, is he coming at Perotti?
No, not at all, because they both seem like outstanding. I actually really, I mean, look, I hate to say it, but they're both attorneys, and you know, as attorneys,
you're an attorney too. I get it.
Well, right. The thing is, you're used to working with adverse party. Me and other attorneys, we can get into it here and there. At the end of the day, you know,
you might have a drink together still. You know,
well, yeah, because you can work together, you can learn from one another. But you're used to. But this is the thing: some people that I've seen, especially with politics, with some of the protests and counter protests, they're not used to going back and forth with people.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not used to that, and then you get out there with somebody and get in an argument, that's why it leads to chaos, it leads to violence, or it leads to, I don't want to be involved in politics anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Mike Perotti and Andrew Warren. Perotti and Andrew Warren, this is their life. This is what they do. So they know how to, I guess you could say, have a battle with somebody, but not have it turn into a war,
mm-hmm.
and then be able to work with that person going forward.
Yeah. And that, yeah, that's fantastic advice for all
and again,
candidates.
This is just an example.
Yeah, this is just an example.
And so another candidate we had on the show was Sheldon Jones running for Palmetto City Commission seat one. First time running for any type
First-time candidate.
First-time candidate, that's the word. And he won in a three there's three candidates for this position, Palmetto City Commission seat one, in I believe what they call an at-large seat for Palmetto City Commission. And Sheldon Jones won. He also a great candidate, very passionate about his local community in Palmetto. He grew up in Palmetto. And then
Shout out to Sheldon Jones.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Great. I think that would be really good for the city of Palmetto.
That's two for me.
That's
in a huge race, a huge race that I think, you know, being more immersed in the community that Don could talk about was Henry Shake Washington, his win over Tammy Schamburger. Because, I mean, look, guys, if you guys go on social media, I mean, if you listen to our show, more importantly, listen to, like, Walter's show after us, the Sunday Forum.
Yeah, shout out to Walter.
There's some people in Tampa. That race pushed some buttons.
Oh, yeah. That was a heated race. But people who
let's remind our listeners, Hillsborough County, Hillsborough County School Board District 3. That's what that race was.
That was District 5.
District 5.
District 5. Why do I keep on saying District
5? I don't know.
District 5. And District I live in five. District 5. Okay, yeah. Sorry. So I voted on that race as well. And so we had both Tammy, who's a great guest, and she, you know, she was the incumbent running for re-election. And then we also had Henry Shake Washington, who I, you know, grew up in District 5, worked in education for 20, 30 years, I believe. Taught half the county. So he ran for election. And
taught the other half won. How to play basketball.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Shake was on too. That's three for me.
Well,
that's three wins.
Yes, correct.
Okay.
Well, all right. Here we continue with that.
Don Bethel, you have one. Sounds like you're Buccaneers, but we'll keep going.
So shout out to everybody who ran, but also, so Shake won, Andrew Warren won, Sheldon Jones won, and then Bob Enriquez won, property appraiser.
Right.
For fourth.
That's your fourth.
Win. But Bob, I think, was running for his third term as property appraiser, from what I recall. And Bob was incredibly knowledgeable on the subject.
Smart guy, man.
Like, we even talked about two of the amendments that were on the ballot were related to taxation. And just in a very, very in-depth conversation, we only have 30 minutes with him, but we really took advantage of those 30 minutes. So Bob, you know, he won by a considerable margin in that race.
Amendment 1, 77%. I forgot the percentage to pass. Was it 60%?
Yeah.
Goodness. Amendment 2, 60.05%.
That's the minimum wage one, correct?
Yep.
Yeah.
That just made it. Amendment 3 did not pass with 57%. Amendment 4 did not pass with 48%. Amendment 5 and 6 both respectively had 75% and 88%.
Yeah, and the last two amendments were the ones that we spoke to Bob about, the property appraiser, mm-hmm. because they related to taxation and into homes. So those passed overwhelmingly. The First Amendment was requiring the citizenship in the state of Florida to vote. Incredible margins there. 8.3 million people voted in favor of that amendment to the Florida State Constitution. The minimum wage one, like you said, barely won. And then, and it's again to gradually increase the minimum wage to $15 an hour starting in 2021 up through 2026. And then after that, it's going to stay with the rate of inflation, I believe, is what it was. And so the one that I am glad that lost is Amendment 4, which was they tossed out an amendment to require that any constitutional amendment for the state of Florida have to go through two election cycles to be approved. And so that one,
you know how insane that would have been?
That would have been crazy.
If you got Democrats and Republicans fighting and they can't pass anything because they can't come to an agreement, and then you put something on the ballot and it has to wait, I mean, we'd just be in a state of things possibly not happening.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we can talk about this in a separate call, but I'm overall generally against constitutional amendments. I think these are a lot of these things, and we talked about this with Bob as well, that a lot of these things should be managed and handled at the legislature level. in the state of Florida, but the legislature just refuses to concede. So the population of the state basically does this amendment piece to try to overrule the legislative body, which I just don't agree with necessarily. But we do have some callers. We've been patiently waiting. Let's go to a caller here. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Greetings. It's Clay from Land of the Lakes, gentlemen. How are you today?
Doing great, Clay. Thank you for holding. We really appreciate that. How you been, man? Good? All right?
Fair to Midland, partly cloudy.
Partly cloudy. That's what I expected. Home,
yeah.
So what do you got for us?
I missed the first 20 minutes of your show. I'm sorry about that. But
I'll apologize to you in a year. No. I'll forgive you in a year, sorry.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. And as far as all the amendments go, I'll have one thing to say about it, and we'll discuss it, because Amendment 1 is terrible. But the only amendment that should have passed was 2. All the rest should have failed. And I go with the League of Women Voters on that, a nonpartisan organization. The problem is people don't look at it. Amendment 1 is going to actually allow for more voter suppression. That was the whole reason, changing one word in the Constitution.
Yep, literally.
One word. So it's terrible that it passed. So anyway, I'm no fan of Pelosi, but I must tell you that there was poison in the bill, and that's what kept her from agreeing to it. Most of that poison was protection
for
legal responsibilities
to their
employees for making them come to work without providing the proper PPE.
Yeah.
So, and that's the reason you do things like that. The Republicans always try to put something forward and make it look really pretty, but it's the poison in the bill that you can't swallow, and you shouldn't swallow, and I'm happy that they didn't. it was just they were using the need as a mechanism to get something they wanted really badly. It's just terrible.
So, real quick, I have a question for Clay. Clay, this is Jamal.
Yeah.
Are you there? Yeah, and because I know you said you're not a fan of Pelosi, but I think a big thing is, would you state or be of the opinion that because she's in political office, I know you're very opinionated, I'm very opinionated. I don't know if we could be in that office and work, hand in hand with people, particularly on those issues. That's why I wouldn't run for office. But would you say that she has a duty, even if she gets a bill and there's some things in there she doesn't agree with, but it's for the good of the American people? It's like, hey, get this passed. We know you're agreeing with some things that you don't want, but for the good of the American people in the country, let's just get this passed.
So I'll ask you in reverse. Is it for the good of the American people to keep people from having their day in court and being able to hold their employer responsible for forcing them to work, like in the packing plants, meat packing plants, and the slaughterhouses, and all the different areas there were? Is that is that for the good of the American people?
Well, I see where you're getting at. You could say that's not for the good for the people, but when you're in that position in Congress, I mean, there's going to be so many bills which you vote on where there's just a pros and cons list, unfortunately.
And that's how we get all the poison in our society. That's where all that stuff comes from, is by putting something so good in there that it makes you vote for the bad as well. And we need to stop that. We need to have bills that are strictly about a single subject. That would be what I want to see, is the bills have to be about a single subject. And that way you wouldn't have that going on. Where they call them riders. They call them all kinds of things.
Let's
stick them in there.
Hey, Clay, we do have quite a few callers I want to get to before the end of the show here.
So let me finish up real quick. I wanted to say ditto to Jamal on everything he said, especially when it came to Puerto Rico. And why states in this country are not going to want to see Puerto Rico as a state. And Joshua, you quoted statistics from the last election in Puerto Rico, and what you failed to point out was that it was one of the lowest turnouts in the history of Puerto Rico. Mm. So when you got the kind of vote you got for statehood, it was a vote that was not where a majority of the people had engaged in the process.
Well, no, I didn't even go into that because the fact is that it was a non-binding referendum, so it was meaningless. So.
And lastly, the gentrification that goes on in Puerto Rico. After the last hurricane, I was watching a documentary I can't remember the name of the documentary, but it went specifically to Puerto Rico and looked at what happened along the coast and in some of the two major cities in Puerto Rico, in which American money came in, bought up the place, and created all these favelas and all these beautiful homes and all that stuff for the rich and wealthy. They took advantage of the fact that the devastation of the hurricane and the position of Puerto Rico itself with its financial issues and, came in there and took over. And if it becomes a state, it would get even worse. So that's just my feeling on the whole thing.
All right. Excellent. Thank you, Clay.
Peace be upon you all. Stay healthy.
You too, bud. Take care.
Bye.
All right, so that was Clay, longtime listener, longtime caller. Thank you. Again, you're tuning into the Urban Cafe. Let's jump to another caller who's been patiently waiting. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Good morning, gentlemen. It's Chris Steiner, Clearwater.
Hey, Chris. Good morning, sir.
Hey, 2 weeks ago, to Simon's call, which was full of facts and figures, it should be added that according to many studies, for a 1% rise in unemployment, the result is an average of 37% increase in mortality within 5 years from all causes of death.
Where's the source of that data? That's interesting.
Various studies. I'm looking at Science Direct right now, unemployment and mortality evidence from the PSID, studying over 16,000 individuals. But there are some experts I could refer you to that have covered this.
Okay, that's fine. And so, but specifically talking about what we were talking about today, do you have any comments real quick?
Adding to what you mentioned, the Federal Reserve chief saying that the damage is irreparable. And, the point is that amidst Simon's call 2 weeks ago, I believe it was Josh here who...
Yeah.
Lockdown sacrifices are temporary, but now we know they are irreparable.
Yep.
So we need to take a hard look at the data that we're being fed that's often found to be flawed and contradictory, and the false positives of the COVID-19 test. And, we have this mortality rate that increases 37%. Within 5 years from just a 1% rise in unemployment. You can also look at shadowstats.com that covers a lot of the unemployment data.
Okay.
And other data that the government does not properly report because, of course, once you fall off the unemployment rules, then you're not being counted as unemployed anymore. And Florida has a very short, I think, 20-week unemployment period. And to back up what's being said earlier, to make sure your views are being at least heard, if you have any hopes of being represented locally and statewide, to prevent bad policies and law from taking root and nullify those bad policies and law that are emanating from the international and federal levels, because it's not the U.S. that's the hegemony. And the likes of China do not challenge us. The hegemony is the U.S., China, and most nations being puppeteered by a parasitic New World Order run by multinational corporations with no allegiance to any country, and their interlocking directorates, meaning there are directors on the boards of directors, on two or more boards of directors who are collaborating to corner we the people, as Project Censored has covered the interlocking directorate. That would explain why the likes of the big box stores are allowed to stay open.
Interesting.
And, John Maynard Keynes, what we're experiencing now is Keynesianism, his economic policy,
okay,
that rather than productivity being gauged by production of goods and services, money becomes the product. Government doling out money becomes the product, and if money changes hands fast enough, Keynes asserted that productivity is expected to follow. Now, bear in mind, he's a eugenicist.
And I believe what you're trying to get at is that, return to work, right? Even regardless of the fact that we have the pandemic, trying to balance the pandemic management with returning to work. Is that what we're getting at here?
Focus protection, as Simon had said, is to protect the frail. But, okay, eugenicists believe in killing those who are genetically flawed.
All right. Well, we don't want to get into that conversation specifically, Chris, but thank you, though. Chris, we do appreciate your call this morning. We do have some other callers we want to get to here. And so, and getting back to Clay real quick. Clay, the Puerto Rico turnout, the low for turnout was in 2017. I believe that was 23%. And the 2020, the turnout right now, I believe, is around 51%, which is still pretty low for Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico traditionally has been in the 70s and 80s, 80th percentile. But from what I'm reading here on Spectrum News, actually, Bay News 9, 51% of the voters turned out in Puerto Rico in the 2020 election. So let's get to another caller who's been patiently waiting, and then we got to wrap up the show here. Good morning, caller. What is your name and where are you calling us from?
Had a shout out to Clay, who hit the point right on top of the head here in terms of poison pills. Poison pills. And that's why I have to dog out my man Simon. But today
I don't want to talk about Simon. Let's not talk about Simon.
Jason, properly, dog. Yeah, because you got to understand civics, man. Yeah. So poison pills. So I'll probably dog you out this morning.
And so thank you, Billy. And so Billy basically backing the comments from Clay, where the conversation with Jamal about basically Nancy Pelosi didn't want to pass this $1 trillion law because there were some poison pills embedded in there, you know, at least for some people's opinion. So we are coming up on the end of the show here. And so Jamal and Don, what are your last thoughts here on the 2020 election?
I'm going to talk about that just real quick. Again, I want to congratulate and give support to all of the candidates, win or lose. You know, it takes a lot of courage to get out there. Want to just give a shout out to Gwen Myers. She won her race. And Nancy Milan and Tracy Koster. Thank you, Tracy. But something else, Joshua, you have a whole industry that has been wiped out because of this. And I'm talking mainly about concerts.
Okay? Oh, yeah, bro.
You know, so, and all the people that work in that industry, you know, that nobody's talking about. Then, yeah, that's all I have to say. Go ahead, Jamal.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, real quick, I would say whether your candidate won Democrat or Republican on the national or the local level, please take a step back and look at your life and think about what kind of change you want to leave. You only get one life. Do you want to spend your life in misery or fighting for a cause or bashing another candidate? Or do you want to try to work with that person who won, who could be opposite you, to try to make some positive change in your community?
And that's fantastic. You know, just a very positive message here, trying to move into the 2021, which hopefully will be a little better. You know, we didn't want to bring up COVID at the beginning of the show because COVID seems to take over the conversation if we bring it up at the beginning of the show. But I would be remiss if I did not mention the fact that the COVID-19 stats over the entire country are just absolutely out of control. Just yesterday, the city of Chicago is locking down, effective today, I believe. They're locking down the city they're literally asking their citizens to shelter in place for 30 days and only leave their house for necessary goods. That's, you know, here we are on November 15th is when this is happening. You know, this first came into the country, I believe, in January or February. And so, you know, South Dakota governor is mandating face masks, something that would be unheard of for that part of the country to have a face mask mandate. Hundreds of thousands of people are being diagnosed every day. About 1,000 Americans a day are dying due to COVID. So please, please, please be safe. You know, try to avoid large public gatherings. It turns out, according to Dr. Fauci, I believe, even the smaller family gatherings are really where most of the spreading is actually occurring. So you're meeting with, you know, 6 to 8 people, family members or close friends in your house. And apparently the majority of the spread is happening in those kind of situations. So just please be careful. You know, take advantage if you have free testing in your local area like they do in the city of Tampa. Please take advantage of those resources to just constantly be vigilant because we live in a very dangerous time. There's over 250,000 Americans, I believe, have perished or close to that. And it's very unfortunate that this is where we stand, right now. And so, with that being said, we're going to switch it off to the Sunday Forum with Walter and his crew. Alvaro, et cetera. Thank you so much for tuning in to the WMNF 88.5 this morning. Take care.
Though we gotta say goodbye.